This is Coach Eric Johnson, the brand.
And Coach Aaron Thigpen, the source.
Aaron, good day, good day. It looks like we have a nice subject that we always like to discuss, and that's really the parent effect and the impact they have on their student athletes in recruiting and in other training sources. So anyway, I just want to get your thoughts on that today as we go with it, as we say.
Yeah, I mean, this is a broad subject, and I don't know, we'll just go in a variety of different directions on it because it covers so many different subjects and aspects of an athlete. I guess, fair warning, some of you parents might be offended by some of the things. I don't know about what EJ is going to say that I might say, but it's all in the effort to educate you and put you in a better position to help your athlete. And I want to start by saying first, I'm not sure if parents are quite clear on how much they affect their athlete's performance, directly and indirectly. And first I want to talk about, you know, the obvious is the direct parent who is pulling information off the internet or, you know, cross-checking the information that's given by coaches and trainers. You know, that's one way of maybe directly affecting an athlete's performance. You're introducing contradictory information to what's being taught. This can put the athlete in a bad position because they want to please the coach, they want to please you, and it can confuse an athlete and basically paralyze them, where they aren't sure what they're trying to do and what they want to do. So that's just kind of one of the direct examples. Indirect is just, you know, maybe how you're emotionally reacting to your athlete's performances. For example, you know, are you the parent who kind of frowns a lot when your athlete doesn't do well? You know, in other words, do you have a poker face? or do you kind of show those emotions that, you know, even though you don't say anything, can send the signals to your athletes that you might be unhappy with how they're doing? And the reason why I bring that up is, you know, I'm in the gym. I'm not out on the field as much and watching competitions as much anymore, but I'm in the gym and I still see the same thing in the gym. And that's one reason why right now we don't have parents in the gym, mainly because of COVID, but that's another, it actually helps because sometimes an athlete and just our kids in general look to us, they take cues from us. And sometimes they respond off of those cues, you know, hey, and maybe they're taking those cues to get reassurance, you know, maybe they're taking those cues for some other reasons. But if we're sending the wrong cues and it becomes a situation where the athlete is always looking to the parent for the appropriate cue, for that validation, for that, you know, attaboy or whatever, then you can paralyze an athlete. And like I said, I see it. I get athletes who come in the gym and they do a run or a rep, and the first thing they do is they look over at the parent. Well, to be honest with you, parents, some of you aren't qualified to quantify the performance. And so the athlete should be looking towards the coach and the trainer for the validation, for the corrections, for, you know, those sorts of things to keep the athlete on track. And again, you know, I'm real big on not having too many cooks in the kitchen because of all the different mixed messages that can be sent to an athlete. And so even when, you know, a parent is in my gym, you know, and I've had to say, hey, look, there's only one coach in here. Because again, that kind of hamstrings or kind of retards the process of the athlete, maybe, you know, attaining a skill, working on something, or just, again, feeling that they've accomplished or being validated. So I think parents should be cognizant of that and aware of that.
Aaron, great points. Brings back a lot of memories as a coach myself in the past and present. And I think about the past baseball experience I just had the past 10 days in Texas with Team USA, the 12U national team. And I saw the process of where we took our 36 trial players and put them in a bubble. We said, parents, give your kids a hug right now. The next 3 days, just pretend you're on vacation without your kids. And you can come out and watch if you like, or you don't have to, but you won't be interacting with your kids anymore. So basically, our staff of 8 coaches were with these 36 athletes with the trainer, okay, with other people, media people with USA Baseball. And we were able to control that environment where players could be their best. Well, where there wasn't a parent around and they had to fend for themselves in the hotel and they had a roommate. They had meetings with us before, after the workouts. They ate together. It was a team, really a team environment. Together, everyone achieves more. It goes back to that, you know, acronym. Right. But what I found out is that these players, were free. Mm-hmm. Free to compete, free to think, mm-hmm. free to mess up and not have anybody on them. All we did was coach them and say, hey, try it this way. Right. Or this is a situation that was happening. This is how we'd like you to react. And there wasn't any looking around. Why? Parents weren't around. Right. There weren't any parents in the stands. You know, some parents came and watched, but it was very clear that our manager, RJ Farrell, said, hey, parents, go on vacation. Go do this, but don't be around. And basically said, don't come to the field. That's what he said, what he was really saying. And we saw maybe 2 parents there. But to be quite honest with you, they were there in support where they got off the bus and they're filming them and that was it. And we never saw them again. And that put an athlete in a place where they can compete and not be afraid to make a mistake and be free. And I think that's very important. So that's one side of it. That's here it is. This is how these athletes are competing. And I tell you, it brought out the best in these guys. We got down to our final 18. And even when we got to our final 18, same rules applied. And I tell you, the kids were free. They were competing, not worrying about other stuff. They were in this environment. And then I go back to the other side of it, the side that you and I see quite often. That's our own company, clubs, and your own athletes that train. And now the parents are with them all the time. And so when that athlete gets in the car after the game or before the game, and there's chatter about you need to run faster. Remember what Coach Aaron said, or you remember what he said about this when you're playing soccer, you got to have this move and you got to do your feet this way. Or baseball wise, hey, you remember Coach EJ or Coach such and such said about your swing and you got to do that. Now, all of a sudden, the players are confused.
Yeah.
There's no focus on competition to compete. And to be free, I go back to this free thing. In order to compete, you gotta not have that. And I look around and sometimes in my own head, I go, I wish the parents weren't there this week with the players. And the reason why, because I think I can get the players in a place where they can compete and not worry about anything but the game and not worry about making mistakes or what they're gonna hear in the car, or what they're gonna hear, whether we're, you know, and they're in the hotel room or whatever. Because that hurts the athlete. The athlete needs to have that feeling where they can let go. And you understand that.
Yeah, and you mentioned a great word. And parents, I want you guys to understand that training is the imparting of information. Mm. Coaching is imparting of information. And what good coaches do is they try to create an environment. Okay, and whether that's that practice environment, that competitive game environment, or that training environment. And you've got to be careful that you don't necessarily insert yourself and disrupt that environment.
I like
it. And so, you know, again, I know this is all coming from a place of love and it's well-meaning, but you've also got to understand that when a coach is trying to set a particular tone, you know, whether it's in their training or in competition or a particular atmosphere, sometimes you can disrupt that with some of the things that you might do or say to your athlete. And so I just got a vision of Get Smart in the Cone of Silence.
Right?
But there needs to be this kind of cone of silence for that particular period of time for the athlete, especially in competition time. Because I know with my athletes, when I was coaching track and field and go to meets, you know, I didn't let them go back and forth up to the stands, because all it could take is one wrong interaction with a parent or with somebody else that could throw them off their game. You know, a parent maybe telling them something technical. Well, hey, you know what? You need to, you know, lift your knees, or you need to do this and do that. Well, that might not be what our game plan is and what I want. And now the kid goes and does that, and they blow the scenario for us. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or maybe they get in an argument. And again, parents, you got to understand that there's a lot of cross-pollination of the other interactions you have with your kid that also influence that performance. In other words, if you had an argument with your kid right before the game, you know, before you got in the car, because they didn't take out the trash, that can set a tone. That can be a residual effect of that argument, that disagreement, that transfers into their performance. You know, again, these are kids. They're not, you know, they always can't separate those things. So they might bring those emotions or bring that attitude or whatever it is that is completely unrelated to their athletics. And now it poisons their environment, their competitive or their training environment.
Aaron, I'm going to take it to another step. This happened 3 weeks ago, where that happened, what you just said, that scenario happened with one of our athletes. And the athlete goes to the field and he's thinking that already and doesn't want to be there. Then he starts talking to the teammates and the teammates hear it. So the environment's being poisoned, not on the beforehand, but when the athlete gets a feel and imparts it on his teammates. Mm-hmm. And then they're going, what's going on with him? And they're distracted from their goal and their mission.
Yeah.
That day. And so it can go twofold, not only from a personal, but it can get indirectly out to the team. And that hurts that too, because players start to wonder, that's one of our key players. What's going on with him? He's not right today. And they start stressing about it. So I think the language and the phrase you use, creating that environment as a coach, that's the hardest thing that, and this is another podcast for us, Aaron, is creating that environment as a coach. What does that look like? And parents, what do you understand in that? That's another good subject there. But Aaron, it's so true. I mean, athletes have to be free of that. Hey, handle that after the match. Handle that after the meet. Handle that after the game. Because you have to have a relationship with your kid. I mean, parents, listen, you have to have a relationship with your kids outside of sports. And you have to parent them, and they're going to need you in life. And if they can't trust you over a sporting event, or say they can't really, you know, are fearful of you during a sporting event, how can you have a relationship with them in other subjects that are more important in their life at times?
Yeah. And I think that's well said. And I probably want to end it there, but I think we'd probably be doing our listeners a disservice if we can't give them some kind of tools or ways to handle this. And I can only give you, you know, some examples that I did as a parent of two athletes as well. If you know you're one of those emotional athlete or emotional parents, gets caught up in the game and you can't have that poker face, then, you know, maybe what you do is when you watch the game, you watch it from a viewpoint where your athlete can't see you. You know, that way they're not reading any facial, verbal, you know,
exactly,
that you might give off. That's one thing. And what I used to do as a parent, I would just go to the other side of the stadium and watch my athletes. And I'd have a book and I'd watch. And then we would talk about everything after, if they wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
If they wanted to talk about it. And you might have to give them 30 minutes, an hour, or even the next day to decompress what happened in that in the game, and then visit it there, because now you guys can both visit it with fresh minds and no emotions and that sort of thing, whether it's winning or losing. So even if you're just giving them good advice, you know, but I would say keep the conversation short. Let them come to you versus, hey, you know, what happened? How did, you know, why didn't you do it? You know, that sort of thing after the game. You might want to say, how do you feel? Leave them, make them open-ended questions. And if they want to talk about it, great. If they don't, that's fine too. But, you know, let them come to you in their time with how they feel about it. And so I think keeping that distance is to me, is helpful. It worked with my kids. Oh, they've already got enough pressure on them. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to add any more. And also, then you get out of the whole rigmarole of getting caught up in maybe what all the other parents are saying in the stands and all the rest of that. So
yeah,
I just, that was kind of one way I handled it. But I think providing a little bit of distance can help.
I agree with you, Aaron. And I think about a couple of experiences. I think about two experiences that happened. I remember about 14 years ago, we had a player and very excellent athlete, just a great kid, great kid, played really hard, tried his best, was an excellent player. And I remember driving home one day and his head was down in the car and his dad was going at him like this. And I'm thinking, that poor kid, you know, what am I going to do to kind of help that next practice? I thought about, that's one experience. And then other experience, I had a coach who had a kid who's about 14 and he was playing. And he said, I just sat away from the parents because there's too much chatter behind home plate about stuff that wasn't pertinent to the team and the development. It's all about their kid and stuff and what they were going to tell their kid after the game. And he said, I had to leave. And this was a college coach. He said, I had to leave, go down there to the right field corner where my son wouldn't see me, and just let, I enjoyed being his father.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching him play. I enjoyed the joy of seeing him out there doing something he loved. And that brought back what you just said, is that that's being a great parent. And I think you can have said those two remedies or antidotes, watch from afar and let them initiate the conversation after the game. If they want to, make it short. Those are great, great suggestions for parents to have in their bag to help their kids be successful.
Yeah, I think giving that time, you know, works, because we've all had the responses, hey, how did you play? Good. Or how did you play? Bad. You know, you get those one, and then you get frustrated, you know, because you want more information. But I think if you circle back a day or two after and then ask those questions or prompt them to kind of get an idea of how they felt and how they were managing, I think kids are going to be a little bit more responsive.
Right.
But again, that's my two cents. One thing I do want your parents to go to the website, gamespeed.net. There's actually an article I wrote about this. It's called Parents, Are You Standing in the Way of Your Athlete's Performance? Wrote a couple years ago, but it's still pertinent. And it talks about the 6 traps parents fall into. You might recognize yourself. Hopefully you won't.
Hopefully you won't.
And, you know, again, I know where all this comes from. Hey, it comes from a spot of love and wanting your kids to be the best they can be. Mm-hmm. But we also want them to enjoy what they're doing and actually, more so, enjoy the memories.
Right.
Of what they've done.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what's most important.
Well, well said, Aaron, today. Love the subject. This is Coach EJ, Eric Johnson, the brand.
And Coach Aaron Thigpen, the source. Coming up in just a couple of months, we're still working on that Champions Are Built series. I want you guys to stay tuned for it. We also are on a new platform now called Mic'd Up. Those are actually live sessions where you can actually send in questions and we'll answer them during the session. So start to look for those. We're gonna start to do those Fridays at noon on various dates. It'll be called Asked and Answered with the brand and the source, Aaron Thigpen and Eric Johnson and Aaron Thigpen. It's a mouthful, so we may change that. Anyway, some things in the works we think you guys will like. That's a really good interactive platform. You know, it's where you can ask your question directly. Even if you're not listening real time, you'll be able to download the conversation and hear your question answered. So even if you can't listen to us live and interact with us live, you'll be able to still have some input, be a part of the show, and, you know, hopefully get your questions answered the way you'd like. Other than that, we'll see you.
See you later.